Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Several days ago, China's Center for Disease Control and Prevention said that the efficacy of Chinese COVID vaccines is low and that the country was considering mixing vaccines as a way of boosting efficacy. Now, this was a rare admission of weakness, the first time a government body has acknowledged concerns over the effectiveness of homegrown jabs. China has so far supplied more than 40 million doses to over 30 countries across the globe, including the 200,000 doses it sent to Malaysia. Will this revelation by China's CDC change our national immunization plan? Joining us on the show tonight to discuss this further, we have Dr. Gaus Azam. He's an associate professor at the School of Biological Sciences at University Science Malaysia. He is also currently seconded as the special advisor to the Minister of Science, Technology and Innovation, Khairi Jamaluddin, who has been picked by Cabinet to lead the National COVID-19 Vaccination Drive as coordinating minister. Dr. Gaus, welcome to the show. It's good to have you here.
Thank you, Melissa.
So let's begin with that news about the Chinese CDC's comments. How is the Malaysian government thinking about those comments made, and how does that affect our immunization plan? Does it change our strategy?
Right. So the Chinese director, the CDC director, Dr. Gao Fu, mentioned that in a scientific conference, and he was talking about a lot of things, and that was the part that was picked up by the media. He later mentioned that it was a misunderstanding, right? So he was talking vaccines in general, so it depends on which sort of media you were looking at. So, but generally he was saying that it was a misunderstanding. He was not focusing on just the Chinese vaccine, but he was saying like vaccines, the COVID vaccines in general. Because if you see that what he was suggesting, right, he was saying, like you quote, mixing vaccines. But this is not something new. If you look at the Western vaccines, AstraZeneca a few months ago mentioned that they are going to collaborate with Gamaleya for the Sputnik to mix the vaccine, AstraZeneca vaccine and Sputnik. And if you look, there's a study in the UK as well, led by Oxford University. It's called the ComCAV, where they are now mixing AstraZeneca, Pfizer, Novavax, and
it's like a cocktail.
It's like a cocktail.
So mixing that's vaccine correct. Means it the, will increase the efficacy.
This is what they are looking at because, like you said, in the UK, right? First of all, they are extending the duration to about 12 weeks. So in this study, what they're looking at is they're looking at how what will happen if you mix these vaccines, whether you get increased efficacy, do you have the same antibody response, and these are sort of things that you're looking at, because let's say there's a shortage of vaccine, then you can mix and match vaccine with data available. Mm-hmm. So the study has been started in the UK. Plus, in sort of increasing efficacy, we all know like Moderna, Pfizer, these are vaccines with the reported 90-95% efficacy, but these two companies are also doing studies to increase this efficacy. Moderna has started their third booster study to increase the efficacy, so maybe from 95% to 99%. And this is what we saw in the polio vaccine. Polio vaccine, when it first started, it was about 60-80%. But after a while, they tweaked the polio vaccine, and now they have this three-dose regimen of polio vaccine with an efficacy rate of 99%. So it's not something new, what Dr. Gao Fu was saying, right? It's something that it's common in vaccine. They're always trying to increase the efficacy. If you look at the Chinese vaccine, for example, and in Malaysia, we have the Sinovac vaccine in our portfolio. It's not that bad, because if you look at the Turkey study, which is a general population, there's about 10,000 volunteers. The efficacy rate was 83.5%, which is not that far off of Pfizer and Moderna, 90%, but it's still very high, 83%. And I think this is the misconception that a lot of people have. A lot of people are looking at just the Brazilian data.
Mm.
And this is where, you know, you get the 50% efficacy.
Right.
Yeah, can I ask you about the issue of efficacy? Because in some of the reports that go with some depth into the issue, it applies to different types of effects that the vaccine has. One is efficacy in terms of catching the disease, you know. The other is about developing the disease, and the other is developing different intensities of disease, from mild to severe cases. So apparently, with the Chinese vaccine, the Sinovac vaccine candidate, it actually is very good in terms of preventing severe reactions to the infection, but not so much with the mild infection. Could you help clarify?
50% that you mentioned was for mild cases.
For mild, okay. You're right. So Sharat, so in the Brazil study, they announced three efficacy. So the efficacy against symptomatic, that's a very mild COVID, is 50.4%. But they also mentioned about cases that require assistance. So that is a bit more severe, and that has an efficacy of 83%. And then the most important bit, which is the efficacy against moderate to severe COVID, that efficacy is 100%. Meaning if you get the Sinovac vaccine, you probably would not be hospitalized. You, even if you catch the vaccine, maybe you get a bit of symptom, but you know, the biggest problem with COVID-19 is, you know, your body can actually undergo what you call it, like the mucus will be starting to build up in your lungs, and then you find it hard to breathe, and then you have to be hospitalized, you have to be ventilated, and that is what the vaccine is protecting you against. And this is the most important thing, is that the Sinovac vaccine has 100% efficacy to protect you from the severe COVID. And right. That is important, because now we are, as going back to your question about the government's rollout plan, we are now starting phase two next week. And recently, they have announced that we are going to use Sinovac for the above 60.
That's right. That statement, I think, has created a little bit of concern, right? Because you had the headlines coming out of the CDC comment about Chinese vaccine efficacy, and then you've kind of making it into like you're thinking about, oh, how will that affect me? How will that affect my parents, the elderly, my family getting the vaccine? So Khairi Jamaluddin has said that the government will go ahead using Sinovac for the vaccine. How will you address the concerns or the hesitancy that may come out from the headlines of China?
Okay, so I mean, from the China headline, I think this is something that people should understand. What he said was actually quite a common thing. It's just that maybe it was misinterpreted. Okay, so the fact that we should be mixing, I mean, he suggests to be mixing vaccine, is something that's already been done for the Western vaccine. Increasing efficacy is always good. It's good for everyone. If you can find, you know, something that can increase the efficacy of vaccines, that's good for everyone. But the most important thing, like I said, I mean, the announcement to say that we're going to use it for over 60, people should understand that Sinovac vaccine has been proven to show that it can protect you from getting the severe COVID. That's
so
the most important thing.
If my mother is going to get the Sinovac vaccine, should I be worried?
No, you should not be worried. Because Sinovac vaccine, I can give you some data why the government announced the usage of Sinovac vaccine over 60, is because we looked at the data from Turkey, from Brazil and from Chile. From Turkey, the Turkey data shows that they have given it to more than 11 million doses to over 60. They've also Brazil has given more than 7.4 million doses to above 60, and Chile more than 3 million doses of Sinovac vaccine. In total, the data that we have is more than 20 million doses have been given to over 60. And it shows that it is safe. There is no adverse side effect, and they are continuing to roll it out. And even Indonesia is using it, but we don't have the data from Indonesia.
Can I ask you though, I mean, it seems that with different vaccine candidates, the clinical trials don't always cover all the demographics. And sometimes they wait later to do people over 60 or younger people. And we now have their studies for juveniles as well, conducted for some of the vaccines. Could you help us understand, I mean, should Malaysians now do a crash course on vaccines and clinical trials
and efficacy
in order not to panic every time they read a headline that suggests this is bad or this is good?
Correct. So what I would advise is that we should trust our regulatory body. Our regulatory body, the NPRA, is one of the toughest regulatory body in the world. They've scrutinized every single data that they have to make sure that whatever they approve is safe and efficacious to be used in Malaysia. Because like you said, I mean, there's a lot of confusion about efficacy. So even the word efficacy, when you say about Pfizer 91%, but the 91%, how do you get that 91%? So a lot of people do not understand how you get the 91%. It's the comparison between in the clinical trial, you have people who got the vaccine and people who do not get the vaccine. And then they will look at the differences between these two groups to get into the vaccine efficacy. So even the calculation for efficacy is a bit more complex than, you know, and basically trying to compare a clinical trial, one clinical trial and another clinical trial is not the same. For example, the Brazil clinical trial was done solely on medical frontliners. So these are all health frontliners that are facing COVID-19 every single day in a country ravaged with COVID cases. So you can understand where efficacy will be lower compared to Turkey's data at 83% when they did it in the general population. That's why I would trust the Turkey data a bit more, because that is a bit more similar to a normal situation, and that is also a bit more comparable to other clinical trials.
I mean, that would be contingent on people reading beyond headlines.
There,
right?
You
sometimes
go.
The headlines, you know, you're just skimming through news, and headlines can evoke reactions that may be tempered by reading the whole article. I wanted to ask you about another headline that seems to be getting a lot of traction. Has been the blood clots, the concerns okay. over blood clots. The European Medicines Agency last week said that they found rare cases of blood clots among recipients of the AstraZeneca vaccine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How is Malaysia looking at that? Are we concerned about that? How should we be processing this information?
Okay. So I think this has been asked many times already to YB Minister, and he has said that currently the team behind JKJAV, the expert team, is looking at all the data. Because after EMA announced that, they also released the data. AstraZeneca also released the data. So they are looking at it, and they will brief JKJAV next week. So okay. I think this is what our YB Minister
again,
has said.
Again, coming back to waiting for what the regulators rule on this.
That's okay. correct. So let the expert look at the data, you know, scrutinize the data, and then come to a conclusion and advise the ministers, advise the committee on what we're going to do next. And that is what we have been doing all this time anyway. So we let the experts do it.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and come back and continue this conversation with Dr. Ghaz Azam. Okay. Stay tuned to Consider This.